Welcome to the CineScare podcast. I am one of your hosts, Matt Speak.
And I am also one of your hosts, Joe Jans.
And with us, as always, is the super fan, the laboratory of verbal gaffes, the laboratory of verbal gaffes.
That's just outstanding.
An incubator of boners. That would be Mr. Mark Biscady.
It only took 50 minutes to get going.
Oh, I am lightheaded.
Every night we go through a gauntlet of Mark trying to get his microphone to work or his computer to work, and this time it was a monumental effort to work.
We started 3 days ago.
Yeah, it was the war and peace of
the patience.
Pre-episode preparation.
The patience you guys have. Thank you.
All right, so we are back together once again, and I don't know what to say.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone, because this episode is going to be coming out on Black Friday. So I hope you people are home listening to us instead of crowding into lines and retail shopping centers trying to get the latest Cabbage Patch doll.
Yeah.
Or Tickle Me Elmo.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I would rather not be on Black Friday myself, so I won't be joining anyone except for Black Friday online, maybe, Joe.
You mean Cyber Monday?
Oh, there's a movie called Black Friday coming out with Devin Sawa from Final Destination.
Nice.
It's a zombie movie, and it's like Black Friday, and zombies are hoarding like Walmart, I believe, and they're like attacking all the employees. Do you guys see the trailer for that?
No, but I'm already intrigued.
Yeah.
It seems
zombies
a lot
and Walmart
like...
just seems like a wonderful mixing right there.
Well, it sort of seems like Dawn of the Dead, isn't it?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah. Is that the one where they were in the mall, Dawn of the Dead?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And then the social commentary about the being in the shoppers, and it's just the zombies wandering around aimlessly in a mall, and they're not a whole lot different from just people.
Yeah.
Yep. Bruce Campbell's also in the film.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Check it out.
Well, we are fully into November now and heading racing into the holidays. And we put up our Christmas decorations. We still have one of our skeletons out in front, the 12-foot, the basic 12-foot skeleton is out in front, and he is kind of set up to look like he's decorating our house. You know, I've got the lights strung on him. We're going to try it. They're sold out right now. We're going to try to get the Santa hat for the skeleton. So he's a part of our Christmas decorations. We plan to keep him up through New Year's and then take him down when we take down our Christmas decorations. So
I mean,
get as much out of him as we can.
You're not going to put the two of them out, like exchanging like a big heart for Valentine's Day.
That's not a bad idea,
or
Joe.
Or dress them up like leprechauns for St. Patrick's Day.
Easter. Yeah.
I want the joy of putting them up in September to you know.
I don't know. I think you're missing a real opportunity for Arbor Day.
I know. That's true.
I'm sure your neighbors will love you planting to have those skeletons out.
Yeah. Okay. So we have a theme this week that was the choice of Mr. Mark Biscady. But before we get to that theme, let's talk about anything that y'all have watched since we last. When was our last episode? Was it
2 weeks ago? We do this every 2 weeks.
Always 2 weeks ago.
It feels like a month ago. Like
I agree. This time it feels like it was much, much longer since we've done this. Yeah.
It sure does, man. But I guess I did watch a bunch of stuff. Let's see. Not a bunch of stuff, but I watched some stuff. And I did watch Last Night in Soho.
Ooh.
Did you guys watch this one? I know Mark did last time, but Joe, did you watch it?
I haven't yet. I just saw yesterday that I could start renting this on Vudu for like $20, and I was going to, but I ran out of time. So hopefully by the next time we meet, in the next 2 weeks, I'll have watched it.
Yeah, I should have said something because it was available for rent, I think, last week. And we watched it, I think, on Friday. And so I'll hold off on talking about it.
Ugh.
I guess it I didn't I well, do you care if I say anything about it or would you rather?
No, go right ahead. I don't care.
I didn't love it, but I did enjoy it. I had a good time, but I didn't. I certainly didn't love it. It was no Baby Driver or Shaun of the Dead or whatever. But I enjoyed it. I think the problem I had with it was the third act. I just had some third act issues. It went to some places that it's fine. It's his movie or whatever. I didn't care for it that much, but I don't know. We'll talk about it next time. So it's okay. It's hard to get into too deeply, but we'll talk about it next time. And let's see, what else did I watch? Oh, I watched a little thing called Edge of the Axe. By the way, did we talk? We didn't talk about this last time, did we?
We did. We all watched it, right?
Yeah, we all watched it. We all watched it. Yeah,
it's been a month, Matt.
Yeah, it feels like it, but. I this thing was kind of fun to me. What did you guys think of Edge of the Axe? Now, Edge of the Axe, if you don't know, is an 1989, I believe, slasher.
88.
Yeah. And it's very low budget, and I think the mask of the killer is somehow sort of almost like a amalgam of Michael Myers and Jason, almost in a way, and.
It kind of reminded me of the Little House on the Prairie mask.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
Yeah. That from what's the name of that episode again? Sylvia.
Sylvia. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a little bit. But and then there was a tech element to it that I had a feeling.
Boy, was
Joe,
there.
Those
computers are just like the TRS-80s had just left Radio Shack, and these guys were using computers that actually talked to each other. Oh, it was just, it was a walk down memory lane for me.
What did you think of it, Joe?
It was fine. I love the, what do I want to call it? I don't want to call it Hitchcockian twist. Shyamalanian twist.
Yeah.
At the end. It was superb. The cops, again, the cops in this program were definitely... It's a fine line between being a bumbling cop and just a complete jackass, you know, I'm going to do things my way, you know, that type of
thing. This sheriff or chief or whatever he was just
corrupt.
Ass.
Yeah. He was just corrupt.
Yeah, he wanted to cover up everything.
Yeah.
And he had no, like he did not take this thing seriously at all. He was like, are you kidding me? Come on now. And like, I'm like, he had no reason not to take it seriously.
Yeah. So I enjoyed it for what it was. I think it's somebody looked at Friday the 13th and somebody looked at Halloween and said, I could do this too. And let's just combine them all together and throw computers into it.
Yeah, the priest was my favorite out of.
I really did enjoy the priest too. Yeah,
because his acting was, oh man, Oscar performance. It was pretty bad acting. He was just so nonchalant, and it's like they just like picked him off the street. I did enjoy the kills though. Sometimes, because the main weapon in the film was an axe, and. I don't know if you guys noticed, but you saw contact. Like, the axe was hitting the victims at some points, especially the first one in the alleyway with the prostitute. They were literally, hitting her. I was like, oh, okay. They're not, like, the camera's not cutting away or, you know, the shot's getting cut short. I mean, you see the axe, like, hitting. So I really enjoyed that part.
I don't think it was a real axe.
No, it wasn't real.
No, but it was, the axe kills were pretty good. Like they were actually pretty, you know, it was brutal and pretty solid. But the story kind of meanders a bit. And there were, I did take a couple notes on it that I thought there was one exchange that was pretty funny. First of all, it's the worst church choir I've ever seen in my life, and probably the weirdest church I've ever seen in my life too. But second of all, the girl, the main girl, the kind of blondish girl who I liked, I thought she was actually pretty good in this.
She was kind of hot.
Yeah,
she was kind of hot.
She was cute, but she was also actually a pretty good actor. And the guy was terrible, but his computer stuff was something else. And she at one point says to him, why do you have the names of all the women who were murdered on your computer? And his response is, well, I also have all the car crashes and forest fires in California. Don't you like statistics? Like, that exchange was the funniest thing. I busted up laughing.
Yeah, what else am I going to put in the 64 kilobits of RAM that comes on board with this computer?
It was so funny. And they really, I mean, they dove right into their relationship right away. I mean, they were immediately hooked up. But I thought she played crazy pretty well. It was fun. It was a fun B movie. It's a perfect, I guess, kind of a, one of the ideas I had of a theme that we could do sometime in the near future is if we were to create our own movie marathon, what would it consist of? You know, and it feels like the late night movie, the one that plays at about midnight at Bruin View in Chicago or one of those places. That one is always the goofiest film, and this would be a perfect like goofy film in a movie marathon, or like a little festival if you were to put on a festival of films. So yeah, we all watched that, and what else? I watched. Well, those are also Universal. So no, actually, that is about it. I do want to say that I started watching a series that looks pretty good, that has certainly some horror elements to it, called Yellow Jackets on Showtime. And I was turned on to it because I've been watching the return of Dexter on Showtime, which is they're the last couple seasons. Did you guys watch Dexter?
I watched the whole series.
I've watched probably 2/3 of it.
Okay. The original series, the last few seasons were not so great. And it was because the showrunner left after season 4, which season 4 is considered by most people or many people to be the best season. That was the one with the Trinity Killer and John Lithgow.
Yeah, right? John Lithgow. That was awesome.
And I liked the 5th season too, the one after that. I thought that was pretty good. The girl that was kidnapped by somebody and he comes upon her and then exacts revenge. But after that, there were some seasons that got really, really rough to deal with. And he wasn't a part of it. So he decided he wanted to do one more season to really send off this series and say goodbye to the character. And so the showrunner came back, and that's what this season is. And so far, I think there's been 3 episodes, and they're pretty good. It's very familiar, very Dexter-ish kind of thing.
Is the sister in it? His sister?
In a way.
Okay.
Yeah. She kind of, I don't want to give away spoilers, but yeah, in a way. Kind of in the same way that the dad was in the series.
Okay.
But.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, but in it, when I was watching Dexter, they had previews for this other series called Yellow Jackets about these girls that were in they were on a soccer team that their plane crashes, and there's sort of a Lord of the Flies feel to it, and at the same time sort of a Lost feel to it as well. But then they also jump ahead in time, so you see the girls from the soccer team as grown-ups, and Juliette Lewis is one of them, and I think I can't remember the other characters, but Juliette Lewis is one of them. And there's a bunch of actresses play the girls as older. So there's a mystery involved in it as well. So, and it's got like 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, gotten great reviews. So I'm really looking forward to it. We've watched one episode so far, and my wife and I, Michelle and I, were both like, yes, this is going to be good. So I do recommend checking that one out, even though I've only watched one episode. It's pretty good. So, how about you, Joe? What did you watch that was non-theme related?
I watched a handful of things, but two things that I really want to point out. One is called Bumperkleef, which is Dutch for tailgate.
What?
It was a Dutch horror film that was on Shudder. It was released in 2019 called Bumperkleef. But it's about this family that's going on a trip to grandma's house type of thing, and they're on the interstate, and there's this van that's in the left lane that just doesn't want to drive very fast. And so he starts tailgating the guy. And then eventually figures out a way to pass him. And now the guy that he passed begins tailing him relentlessly. And the whole family is involved. What I would like to point out about this is the villain's weapon of choice. First of all, the villain is like some old guy in his like 60s. Very unassuming, very, you know... He would blend into the woodwork. He would blend into any crowd because he's just any older gentleman. But his weapon of choice is insecticides. So he's got this canister, like an air pressure canister filled with insecticides that when he's accosting the family, he's like breaking the window and just spraying in this little hose of insecticides and acids and stuff like that. It's really weird. It's not a brilliant horror movie. It's just something that really kind of makes you think like, maybe I guess next time I'm on the interstate, I'll just back off a little.
Yeah.
But it's worth a watch. I kind of liked it. It's, you know, the dad that's in it, he's a real road rager kind of guy and real, you know, brash and sure of himself. And he kind of gets what he deserves. So you're kind of rooting for the bad guy for a little bit. But yeah, it was a fun movie. I think you guys should watch it.
Bumperkleef, right?
Yes.
Bumperkleef.
Bumper. Huh. But if you look for, I think if you're on Shudder, I think it's actually called Tailgate. I didn't really even realize that it was a foreign film until it started up with the closed captions. So, and then the other thing I watched that I think everyone within the sound of my voice should watch, and I can't thank Mark enough for recommending this, was a documentary on YouTube called 24 by 36, which is all about the history of movie posters. And it was absolutely fantastic. I'm in love with it, and I've watched it 3 times so far.
Are you kidding?
Wow. No, I just couldn't get enough. I had to...
I watched it twice.
Yeah, I watched it the third time just so that I could sit there and take notes of all these artists so that I could start following. But... the one thing that I really want to point out was a gentleman by the name of Roger Castell. He was the original painter for Jaws, for the poster for Jaws. There is this movement that I was completely unaware of. That painting that he made of the shark with the woman swimming up above, he made that for the paperback version of Jaws and eventually became the poster artwork. But when he finished that, he shipped it off to Hollywood, you know, so they could make their posters and their prints and their lithographs. And he expected it to come back, and it never did. And it's been lost. And now there's this big movement for anyone that's got any information about the whereabouts of that original painting to come forward. And it's like hashtag find Jaws.
Yeah.
So anybody out there knows where that original painting is, do the right thing and let people know.
Yeah, I must have paused this documentary just to look at some of the posters, and some of them are absolutely magnificent. Joe, and I'm sure Joe saw the Back to the Future one.
Oh, yeah.
Where with the DeLorean in front of the diner.
Yep.
Gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous.
The gentleman's name is Laurent Dereau. He's a Frenchman. I sent you guys the illustration that he did for Die Hard, which just made my heart melt when I saw it. It's a snow globe with Nakatomi Plaza inside of it, and the globe is broken. And up above it says, you know, ho, 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 now I have a machine gun. Oh, I went immediately looking for it on eBay, and it's going for like $3,000 to get a print of one of those.
Beware if you're going to watch this documentary, because I've gone online to look at some of the prints, and it is super, super expensive.
Yeah. Although that being said, if you want to get these print, what you need to start doing is following Mondo. Because yes. Mondo is the company that has all of these artists under contract, and they're making all these gorgeous, gorgeous illustrations and movie posters. And if you are able to get them when they're released, they're like $80.
Yeah.
But the minute those things are gone, there's a whole secondary market where it just blows it up to, you know, something that was an $80 24x36 lithographic print will go on eBay 10 minutes later for $3,000.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah. And hopefully, you know, the bubble, I mean, they're afraid the bubble's going to burst, just kind of like comics and whatnot. Beanie Babies, whatnot. But yeah, there's some beautiful posters. There's one with the Blues Brothers with the car launching off the bridge.
The one I figured you would like the most, Mark, is that Laurent DeRose Psycho, where he's walking up the stairs. And there was another guy, is it David Danger? There was another illustration of Psycho where it's you're at like the base of the hotel and you're looking up at the house, and it's got this gorgeous red and blackish background on it. Oh, it's just
I like the Norman Bates with walking up the stairs with the sandwich.
Food. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh God, it's gorgeous.
Matt, I'm assuming you haven't seen this yet.
I have not. No, I haven't had a chance to check it out. What is it on?
It's on YouTube, and it's free.
It's on YouTube for
it's
free.
It's called 24x36.
Yeah, nice.
But
let's check it out.
Yeah, there's a real brief moment in there where they start going through this timeline about the evolution of movie poster art. And once you hit, like when Photoshop became big, it just, every poster is just a photograph of somebody's face, like Tom Cruise, over and over and over again. And it was a wonderful timeline illustration that they made. But this documentary will really make you truly appreciate the art of years past for movie posters.
And there's tons and tons of horror posters that you do see on this documentary.
Yeah.
Tons, absolutely tons.
Okay, I'm done. I know that's not why we're here, but I just had a gush about that.
Nice. Yeah, no, I'll have to check that out.
I'm so glad you liked that, Joe.
Oh, I didn't like it. I friggin' loved it.
Nice.
So, Mark, what did you watch?
Okay, so I watched Thanksgiving.
Nice.
I'm doing God's work. It's a 2009 movie made by some college students, made for $4,000. And it's a piece of trash, but it's so bad, it's good. It's basically these college kids or high school kids. I think it's college kids that they it's Thanksgiving break. They're all excited. They get in the car. There's an evil turkey that has one-liners like Freddy Krueger, and he just kills, you know, these kids left and right. He has sex with the doggy style with one of the women without them knowing. So that's really fun to watch for Thanksgiving holidays. But granted, for $4,000, they even had a cartoon in this, which was actually quite good. And I was very surprised about that. But I mean, it the whole movie's with one of those old like hand, you know, camcorders or whatever.
Handycam.
And but it did spawn a sequel. It's not. Shut up, Joe. It spawned a sequel. It's not Thanksgiving 2. It's Thanksgiving Killing 3, and it's a puppet horror movie. They skipped the sequel, and it has to do with just puppets, as it's like a puppet horror movie. And I'm actually inclined to see that just for that fact alone.
So which is better, Thanksgiving or Santa Jaws?
Oh, I didn't even finish Santa Jaws. I had to turn it off. I was done with that one.
Okay, yeah, that, well, that answers horrible. That. Yeah.
That yeah. was horrible.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. I also, well, I was going to bring up 24/36, but we just covered that. And I watched Ghostbusters Afterlife. Joe, did you see it?
Not yet, but go ahead and talk. I don't care. Spoil okay. the daylights out. Doesn't bother me.
No. I'm not going to spoil it.
I'm not going to spoil it.
I will say that when I left the movie theater, I think I'm in the minority. I did not like the movie. When I was pretty disappointed with it, it's throughout the movie, it's, hey, do you remember this from the original? Hey, do you remember that from the original? There's so much of it. A lot of the kids are very forgettable. The little girl's great, who plays the granddaughter. She's great. And by the time at the end of the film, when things are really rocking and rolling, you're absolutely exhausted. And you're just like, I was just shrugging my shoulders. Now, people in the movie theater were whooping and hollering. People were liking it. So I'm in the minority, I think, right now, but big thumbs down. I did not like it, and I had my expectations weren't high because I saw the trailer. I'm like, they're kind of going on the nostalgia side of it, and they really did. They really, disappointed. So I hope. I hope I'm in the minority. I just hope I'm wrong on this one because I really want Joe to enjoy this film because he's a big Ghostbusters fan. And that's pretty much what I watch. I tried to watch Antlers, but I wasn't able to make it. So
is that one's still just in the theaters, I believe, Antlers,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, then that brings us to the Universal horror movies, the classic Universal horror movies. This is Mark Buscady's choice this week. And Mark, why did you choose this theme?
It kind of had to do a little bit with my mom, because when I first started on the podcast, she's going, when are you going to do the Universal movies, you know, the originals? And I was like, maybe sometime. And then it was few weeks back, Joe was watching Svengoolie, and Frankenstein was on, and I turned it on, and I just saw the castle in black and white, and my eyes just, you know, was like, oh, I really want to watch this, but I kind of started a little bit too late, and I said, no, you know, and so I didn't do it, and then I was thinking about it, and Joe brought it up again. He's going, I'm thinking about doing Universal, and I really wanted to do Universal because I've never seen the Universal horror films except The Invisible Man. I've never seen Dracula, never seen The Mummy, Creature of the Black Lagoon. I think I saw snippets of it back when it was when they did it in 3D in the 80s because it was a huge thing back then. But I've never seen the film, so I really wanted to invest some time in it. And so that's why I picked it.
Well, it's great to go back and look at the classics because this is where everything's based on. You know, all of these things were being invented back then. And film, when these movies came out, film was just transitioning from silent to talkies at the time in the 20s and 30s. And so a lot of these actors had been in the silent films, and a lot of the horror films were from the silent films. And so there's still some of that, you know, the German, impressionism and that sort of thing from the Cabin of Dr. Caligari Phantom of the Opera and Nosferatu, all these films. And then you come into the Universal years in the 30s with Dracula. So it's great to see these because a lot of these horror tropes were started back then. And obviously it's very different. The pacing is very different. So I don't know. Let's talk about Dracula, I guess. Did you watch Dracula this time, Joe?
Yes, I did.
Okay. This is one that, like, I told you before, I think I said, Mark, it's the longest short movie you've ever seen. It just feels so long because the pacing is so laborious. I like Bela Lugosi, and I like the guy who played Renfield.
Yes, he was the best out of the... He stole the movie for me.
Yeah. But it's so slow paced, and there's so many scenes. It feels like a 2-hour movie, and it's I think just over an hour, isn't it? 70 minutes or something?
Yeah, it's like an hour and 11 minutes long.
Yeah.
The Spanish version is longer.
And I watched that.
I watched that too, actually, Matt. It's free on Tubi right now.
Right.
And so I just put on the subtitles, and I don't know why, but the picture looked better than the American version. And I didn't mind the Spanish version that much. I thought it was edited better.
I thought, yeah, no, it was from what I've read about it, they a lot of movies would do a Spanish version with different actors of their movie of different films. And so they did it with Dracula, and they would shoot the Bela Lugosi version during the day, and then they would shoot the Spanish version at night. And of course, it's a different guy playing Dracula, and he's a little. I don't think I like him overall as much as Bela Lugosi, but there's kind of a maniacal look about him. You know, he's crazy. He almost comes off more like a serial killer than a vampire. But it also kind of borders into comical after a while because his eyes are so
awkward.
He's not as imposing as Bela Lugosi, no. But I really like the girl who played Eva. They changed the name from Mina to Eva for the Spanish version. I really like her. I thought she had a lot more life than the English version. And I thought the Renfield wasn't as good as the American version. He was a little bit over the top, but I think the pacing was a little bit better. There were also some scenes that they added in. So what happened was they shot the English version during the day, and so the director of the Spanish version could watch the dailies as they came in, and he could see what they did, and he would change things, you know, based on what he saw that they were doing. And be like, oh, I like that. He keeps that. I don't like that. So they would cut that, or they would add scenes as well, because there were certain things in the English version that just aren't connected scenes sometimes. And it's like, how did you get from here to there? And so they would add a few scenes in the Spanish. That's why it was longer, because they added some scenes that weren't in the English version to make it make more sense.
Yeah, they took out the ship part for the Spanish version.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
And that classic scene where you see Dracula walking in London down the street before he goes into the opera, they took that out too. They just went straight into the opera scene.
Right.
But I mean, I still enjoyed it, and it was fun to watch because they were using the same stills or scenes from the American, and they put it right into the Spanish with the bats flying in front of the horses and whatnot. So I thought it was really fascinating, and I guess the reason why they were really doing that is because they didn't really have, you know, people were getting tired of reading and subtitles, and they didn't have that audio. What do you call it? Audio recording over dubbing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they didn't have that mastered down. So they spent all that money for an extra cast. And they didn't do that for Frankenstein, which I was really surprised about.
Yeah. No, they didn't. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. But, well, that brings us to Frankenstein. Did you watch Frankenstein, Joe?
Yes, I did.
Oh, yeah. That's right. We talked about it before. That's right.
I think we should let Matt or Joe explain his feelings
I appreciate the Universal Monsters. I realized they were beginning of franchises, and we wouldn't be here today if it weren't for them. So I can appreciate that. However, that being said, Dracula drove me up a frickin' wall because there's no score to it. It was like watching a silent film, but I could hear the actors talk. And you could tell that they just sort of evolved recently out of talkies because of how much they use their facial expressions, especially bulging eyeballs, to get the point across that these people are evil or crazy. But I really wish someone would just go back to Dracula and score it. I mean, it's 70 some minutes, 71 minutes long. It wouldn't take all that much, but I think that movie could be a lot more impactful by today's standards if someone would just put some sort of score behind it. Same thing with Frankenstein.
The Spanish version had more music, I felt like, than the English version of Dracula. But
it's just so many times I would find myself watching Dracula just like walk down the stairs, and I can't hear a footstep. I can't hear a dog barking in the background. I can't hear a musical score. There's nothing to keep my interest, I guess. And it just was like watching a Marx Brothers movie from time to time, which I do like, by the way.
I mean, I kind of agree with you, Joe, but I mean, then you got to think about all the purists, because I mean, look what George Lucas did with the Star Wars, and when he remastered them and did the special edition and bringing back some really bad stuff in it, that I thought kind of ruined the originals. I just can't even watch the original how it was actually made. So
yeah, I don't know. At least that had a John Williams score to it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Anyway, that's my two cents, but that's and I don't feel that way about all of the Universal horror movies, because once we get further along in history, that problem fixes itself. So go ahead. You were on Frankenstein.
Yeah, Frankenstein. I like I like Bride of Frankenstein better than the original Frankenstein, but I do like there's some really cool shots in Frankenstein. One, I love the cemetery scene when they go in to dig up the body. That whole setup is fantastic. And just the tree there and just the, you know, I there was like, I don't know, wind or whatever in the shot or in the sound. I thought it was really cool. I like the atmosphere.
It really had good wind. Yeah.
Yeah. I love the atmosphere in these old films.
I was surprised that, because I've never seen Frankenstein before, that Igor didn't have a hunch in his back. I mean, he was kind of crouched over, but I mean, he wasn't like, I don't know. I just maybe I just seen too many parodies of Igor where he's got, you know, a huge hunch. He just looked completely different.
Speaking of which, I didn't realize until seeing Frankenstein and the Bride and Frankenstein, just how many scenes had come directly to young Frankenstein, Mel Brooks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That in, what was it, in Bride of Frankenstein, when he goes to the old man in the
cigars.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't realize that had come from two different movies until I just went and rewatched them. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, that was a total spoof of these Universal films. But it's hard to watch that scene with the hermit without laughing.
Because I laughed,
Well, I was surprised, you know, like Frankenstein and the Bride of Frankenstein, that he's drinking, he's smoking a stogie. I had no idea Frankenstein did that.
Or carrying on full conversations.
Yes.
He's not supposed to talk. Yeah.
Had no idea. And I had no idea that that he didn't do the arms like stretched out until Frankenstein meets the Wolfman. And that's because of another reason, because I had no idea that Bela Lugosi played Frankenstein in that movie. I've learned a lot. I learned a lot. But Bride of Frankenstein, I enjoy much, much more than Frankenstein. I mean, Frankenstein was great. Boris just, God, he looks beautiful as Frankenstein. It's so beautiful. Just the way the camera caught him, just the, you know, the grays and the black and the white. I mean, it's a gorgeous movie. What are you giggling about?
Just the Joe? Grays, the grays and the black and the white. They kind of make each other. It's like the reds and the greens.
One thing I really liked is I liked that Fritz was so mean to the monster in the original. Like Fritz, and you know, the thing that kills me is that we always think of Frankenstein's helper as being Igor, but Igor, it's not Igor. Igor doesn't come into the series until like the third or fourth movie of the franchise. Igor is in, I think, The Son of Frankenstein or something, like one of the later Frankenstein movies is where Igor is. But Igor has somehow became the name that everybody uses to call that hunchback helper guy. But it's Fritz in the first two. And Fritz is a jerk, let me tell you.
I would like to add on to that comment. Most of the people in these movies are absolute jerks.
That's true.
Dr. Frankenstein is a dick, especially to his bride-to-be. And I got another question. What the hell is a Burgermeister, and what does he do? There's a Burgermeister in three of these films, and I don't know what the hell they do, but they're just pompous jerks.
Did you look it up?
No. Okay. I don't care that much.
Matt's on it right now.
Yeah. And, you know, I realize this is – I'm glad we've evolved since then, but I would like to comment that – I just think it's abysmal the way that women are treated in all these films way back then in the 1920s, 30s, and 40s.
They're treated like queens. What are you talking about? They have long-stem cigarettes they're smoking at. They're wearing gowns.
Yeah, and that's all they're allowed to do. And then not to mention, there's no middle class back then. It's just you're either an absolute dirt-eating peasant or you're a royalty, or you're some uber white scientist up on top of the hill that, you know, buys the peasants beer from time to time and to keep them happy. So,
I had a feeling that I kind of knew, because Berg, it's actually Burgomeister, and a Berg is like a town. So like, you know, Hamburg would be like Hamtown or whatever, sort of. I mean, it's not exact, but
the Burgomeister.
Meister
makes burgers.
Meister is like a master. So it'd be the master of the town or the mayor.
So he's a ham master?
He's the mayor of the Burg. He's Burgomeister.
He's Mayor McCheese.
Yes. Exactly. So then, what other? I guess
the Bride of Frankenstein, the beginning of Bride of Frankenstein, the one guy talking to Mary Shelley at the very beginning, and he said to rolling his R's. And
yeah,
all that.
Can we roll your R's so much, sir?
I mean, this was the most overacting I've seen in all the Universal movies was the beginning of that. And this was this is the first movie I watched for it. I saw Invisible Man before because I loved that movie. But, I mean, it was crazy. And I kept laughing. I start thinking of Matt when he was doing his acting with this one actress with the zombies. And it's in black and white. And I just keep on rehearing Matt talking like him.
Another Grace and Johnny adventure, Zombie Island.
Yes.
Yeah.
Matt, can you talk like that for the rest of the podcast?
Well, I wasn't talking rolling my R's. I was trying to talk like a 1930s actor, talking like this. See, yeah, that's what we were trying to do. Was sound like one of those 40s actors, style actors like Cary Grant and all those. Anyway,
The Wolfman.
Wolfman is, I know you guys probably didn't like it that much because Lon Chaney Jr. is not a great actor. Okay, let's just get this out of the way. He's kind of odd acting. Jeez. But I love the atmosphere of this one. I love the moors. If an old black and white movie has moors, foggy moors, and fog coming through the trees and everything, I'm there. I love it. And this was a movie I saw it when I was a kid, and I loved it when I was a kid. And so it's just stuck with me. That's why. I imagine if the first time I saw it was now that I'm 32, I would probably not like it as much. But
what year is it?
I was wondering if I was going to be able to slip that by you.
Not
guys.
At 32, all.
32, man?
32? But anyway, I imagine seeing it for the first time now, it doesn't quite have the same impact. But I think Wolfman, aside from Bride of Frankenstein, Wolfman's probably my second favorite Universal horror movie. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no, I did enjoy The Wolfman. I loved the gypsy woman. Boy, what is her name?
Yeah, that whole scene I loved.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah, she's great. And She also is in The Wolfman Meets Frankenstein, Lon Chaney Jr. and her.
Oh, is that the same woman?
It's the same woman. Yeah, it's the same woman. And so it was nice when I was watching that movie, seeing them go on their little journey to Germany. But it's not bad. The telescope scene is horrible.
Mark, yeah. Nobody can hear you doing air quotes at home.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
They don't know that you're doing air quotes.
This is radio.
So quote Germany because they were filming that.
Much better. Can't see much, it. Much better can't though.
Okay. Well, when I'm saying Germany, I'm doing the quote. So Germany quote. It was being filmed during World War II, and so there wasn't much love going towards Germany, so they changed the name to a fictitious name. So, but the telescope scene in The Wolfman, that was pretty awkward, pretty creepy, especially when he goes down into the shop and says, "Well, I've been looking at you through the telescope," and I'm just like, "Oh, that was a little bit of a cringe moment."
His sense of humor is a little off.
Yeah, he's not a funny actor. He doesn't really pass off as like this suave, debonair guy.
Right.
He's really awkward looking. And I did laugh out loud when he got trapped in the claw trap, the bear trap.
Yeah.
And he's rolling on the log just back and forth like, this is the monster. That's all it took. And but I mean, no, it's. I did enjoy it. It definitely wasn't one of my favorites, though.
Yeah. Joe, I don't think you watched that, did you?
I've seen it. I watched it late enough in life that I knew I wouldn't like it rewatching it.
Okay.
I was never a fan of Lon Chaney, and plus I've got this thing against werewolf movies, so I didn't bother.
It was the most brutal kill in The Wolfman, I thought, at the end, because his father's literally beating the shit out of him with the stick.
Cane. Yeah.
The cane, yeah. I mean, that was actually a brutal kill.
Yeah. I've always wanted a cane like that, though. That would be so cool to have one of those that has the wolf head on it with the a pentagram, I think, is on there or something, too, right?
It's a wolf's head. I don't remember a pentagram being on it.
Yeah. Maybe that's my dream.
It's a cool-looking walking stick, but...
And
he never used it though.
I did like the new version with Benicio del Toro version of Wolfman. I liked it, but I'm a sucker for atmosphere. Joe's a sucker for music. I'm a sucker for atmosphere, and I loved the atmosphere in it. It's not probably a great movie, but I did enjoy it.
I was super excited when that movie was about to come out, because I mean, who better to play the Wolfman than Benicio?
Oh yeah,
Del Toro. I mean, he's like perfect for it.
Yep. So. Did you guys watch Creature from the Black Lagoon?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah,
I actually loved it.
That's I have a real soft spot in my heart for that one. I like that's one of my favorites.
And you know, this time I really realized, as I was watching it, I said, you know, there's a lot in here that is very similar to Jaws. You could see Jaws is that Steven Spielberg was really took some things from this or influenced by it, because the shots underwater are pretty creepy. I've always been that way, but I really had a new appreciation for the shots where the girl is swimming and the creatures under her kind of almost touching her, and I could see audiences back then probably were like, oh my god, because there is that fear of being in a lake or whatever and you feel something brush against you, but then that shot where she's swimming kind of wading and her legs are kicking, and as the camera POV shoots up or like up her legs and showing up, you know, upper body or whatever, is very similar to that first shot in Jaws of the girl swimming in the water. And then there were little moments where I almost felt like I could hear the Jaws music, and not necessarily the dunna dunna, but
there
some
is a dunna dunna in it though.
There's a couple, but there's also some of the music, and I can't remember what scenes it's in Jaws, but there's some of the other incidental music I could hear influences had. I swear they probably used this movie as a template, like what can we not take from it, but little things. And I wouldn't be surprised if John Williams had some of his score influenced by it.
Go ahead, Joe.
I wanted to point out that part of the reason why this is one of it, probably the favorite of the Universal horror films, is because of the score. Although, you know, like my problem with Dracula is there's no music at all. And with this one, there's that dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
Every single time that the creature is like within 100 yards of being on camera, it, dun, dun, dun. It's played like 300 times in that movie.
I think they might've been worried that their creature might not have been that scary.
No, it, you know what it reminded me of? Dun, dun, dun. And every time it happened, I start thinking of the Spider-Man cartoon. Dun, 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 Spider-Man. It sounds like it at the beginning. So I start singing.
But yeah, he's got some really great theme music, and I'm glad that they announced him every time. I really do like Creature from the Black Lagoon. Although, like I said, it's much later in the Universal. I think this is like in the 1950s. So it's evolved and progressed so much more
from
1920, whatever. So.
And I was rooting for Mark.
Yeah.
I was. I liked him. I liked him for a reason, not because his name was Mark, but I liked him because there was something likable about him. I hated the lead
the boss,
guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I liked Mark, the guy with the blonde hair, and he dies. He was kind of like Quint.
Was his name Brian?
No.
That's a shout out to Brian.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show, Brian. Oh, Brian. Shout out to friend of the show.
Thanks for listening, Brian.
Yeah, we love you, Brian.
You guys got to stop encouraging him, man. You got to stop because he's starting to riddle me.
Brad guy.
Brad guy.
Anyway, yeah, wow. I really liked this one too, and there's a really great mask for this creature too. That someday I'm going to be Creature from the Black Lagoon. It's just the rest of the body would be hard to do. That's the only thing.
There's even a shot that reminded me of Jaws, is when they had the creature in the net and the bow was about to break. And they're like trying to bring the net up. It reminded me of them trying to bring the cage up that Hooper was in.
Oh, yes. What? That was the other thing that I noticed. Exactly. When I saw that scene, I was like, that's very similar.
The same shot with the cracking. I'm like, Steven?
And even the guy was yelling, bring it up, bring it up. And it was very similar, very similar. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that one.
And then, when they brought the net up, there's a big hole in it, which is very similar to the cage. Yeah, yeah. Really, really interesting. Yeah.
Spielberg,
hey,
what are you doing?
You know
to
what?
Me?
That's what the best do.
Yeah, you got to be influenced by something.
Yeah, no, the best. What was it? I heard somebody say, good artists imitate, great artists steal.
Picasso said that, right? Picasso said the best things are stolen.
Yeah.
Picasso said that?
Something along those lines. I'm paraphrasing, I'm sure, he was a thief.
Somebody said, and I don't know if it was Picasso or somebody said, good artists imitate, great artists steal.
Somebody said something about stealing's good.
Yeah. Okay, but I also watched The Raven. Did you guys watch that one?
I did not watch The Raven.
I had not seen this one before, and it might be on my 100 horror movies poster. No, I guess not. But that the one, the scratch off thing.
Oh, I was thinking of the documentary, so I went strictly to movie posters.
Oh yeah, no. But this one was interesting. It starred Bela Lugosi and Boris Karloff, and it's kind of dark. In fact, this movie was banned in England. In fact, this movie caused horror movies to be banned in England for a period of time because it stars Bela Lugosi as a guy who is obsessed with Edgar Allan Poe stories. And he wants to, because he especially has a problem with women because no women like him because he's pretty much because he's creepy, but he's a very famous surgeon. He's like a plastic surgeon. And he has this goal to trap these people and torture them using different things from Edgar Allan Poe stories, different devices like the pit and the pendulum and different things like that. And he wants to torture people in his house. And so it gets pretty dark. He performs a surgery on Boris Karloff to make him look like a monster so that because he thinks if you look like a monster, it will start making you behave like a monster. And so he thinks he can get Boris Karloff to do whatever he wants him to do, like capture these people and keep them imprisoned in his home if he promises that he'll repair the horrible disfigurement that he caused upon his face. So it's kind of interesting. It's definitely it's got a pretty good pace to it for one of these older movies, because I believe it's 1930s. And it's great to see Karloff and Bela Lugosi in the same movie as well. So I recommend it. It's only like an hour long, so it's definitely worth watching. And that was The Raven. So did you guys watch any other?
The Invisible Man.
Yeah. Oh, The Invisible Man. I didn't watch that one this time, but.
Again, I want to point out the guy's a jerk. Guy's an absolute jerk. He goes into this. Yeah, he goes into this bar to seek lodging. And he's already pissed off. He's like the dads in these Halloween movies. You know, he's picking a fight at the breakfast table.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's because of the, you know.
The serum.
The serum. Yeah. It's making him go mad. It's not his fault.
He's agitated.
He's agitated, all right. And actually, they had the same actress, Una... O'Connor, who played Jenny Hall, she was the innkeeper's like wife who takes him upstairs. She's also in The Bride of Frankenstein. She plays that woman who the Italian woman that's kind of like over the top, like comedic. She plays the same one.
The one who keeps getting yelled at by the Burgermeister.
Yes.
Yes.
Flora, our damsel in distress, of course, is Gloria Stewart from Titanic. Rose.
Oh,
nice.
Wow, that would have been a good trivia question.
Oh, that would have been good. Yeah, that's literally her. And yeah, she's a knockout. She's a dish.
She's the cat's meow.
Yeah. And I love The Invisible Man because one, yeah, he was an asshole. I love the special effects, the unwrapping. I mean, how they did that is incredible. Yeah. Absolutely incredible.
Black velvet.
And, huh?
They use black velvet.
Yes.
Yeah. I was reading up on how did they actually do that way back then? Because that was way before, was it Kodachrome or chroma key with the blue... blue screens and the green screens.
Right.
They would film the actors talking to an imaginary object at a black velvet background. And then they would do the same thing with the actor and sort of overlay the two. But it was cutting edge for back then.
Oh yeah. I'm sure audiences were blown away by it. I'm sure.
Yeah. Had to have been. And he killed 100 people on a train. That's insane. Yeah, I love that movie.
Yeah, well, you know, and then when they did the updated version a couple years ago, they leaned into the idea that the Invisible Man was a bad guy. You know, they didn't make him the central figure or whatever. He's definitely the bad guy. And
did you guys like that one, the remake?
I liked it. I didn't love it, but I liked it.
Yeah, I thought it went on about a half an hour too long. Mm. And we're talking about... Okay, there was another one, Hollow Man. What I was thinking of with Kevin Bacon.
I actually like that movie a lot.
I was okay with that one. It seemed a lot more menacing, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was a more fun ride to be along with.
Yeah, Hollow Man was great, actually. I really like that one, especially when they're making the ape invisible and just the special effects with the circulatory systems disappearing with the blood. It looked great.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, that brings us to
the end.
A special game of trivia.
No.
And this is going to be Mark versus me, mano y mano. And Joe.
One against one.
One on one. One on one. I'm going to play that game tonight.
I'm so glad you guys are happy for these trivias.
And
you're so excited for it.
It's the greatest.
I'm assuming you'll be putting that actual song in the background. Matt is going to be doing the audio. Matt has graced us with his audio talents this week.
I have, And you know, Brian loves trivia when we do trivia. So shout out to Brian.
Friend of the show.
You guys are, oh, man.
All right.
This whole show is dedicated to Brian, by the way.
Oh, Brian.
Excellent.
Friend of the show, Brian.
He's kind of the super fan now.
He's the super fan without a voice. So you guys ready? We're going to be doing Universal Monsters trivia. And just so I can explain the rules, your voice, I'm going to read a question. And if you think you know the answer, you say your name. And if you say your name before the other guy, then I call on you and then you give the answer. And then you get a point. See how that works, Mark?
Is this on the up and up, guys?
It is.
This is going to be on the up and up.
Here's
wow, this is crazy. Can you repeat these rules again, Joe?
So if you think you know the answer, say your name. And if you say your name before Mark says his name, I'm going to call on you and you get a chance to answer.
So my name is my buzzer.
Your name is your buzzer. As a matter of fact, I think we're not going to call this trivia anymore. We're just going to call it your name is your buzzer.
And you're not using any devices like a speak and spell or
No illustrations, no speak and spell.
You're not using Simon. There's no Simon or.
I'm not going to ask you to show me on the doll where your uncle touched you. None of that stuff. It's just going to be trivia.
Excellent.
Joe's on this thing with the uncles and Thanksgiving.
Okay, so are you guys ready? Ready for question number 1 of 28.
No, it's not 28.
It'll go quick. Okay, question number 1. Who is the first person to play Frankenstein's monster?
Mark.
Mark?
Bela Lugosi.
Wrong. To finish the question, who is the first person to play Frankenstein's monster after Boris Karloff stopped playing the role?
Matt. Lon Chaney Jr.?
That is correct. Boris Karloff played the monster in Frankenstein 1931, Bride of Frankenstein 1935, and Son of Frankenstein 1939. Lon Chaney Jr. took over in Ghost of Frankenstein in 1942.
Wait a second. Is that
right? It is right.
Question number 2.
Oh, 1943.
Instead of following any of the characters in the original, the sequels to The Mummy dealt with a new mummy by the name of blank.
Mark. Imhotep.
Incorrect.
Amenhotep.
Also incorrect. Karis. K-H-A-R-I-S. The Mummy's Hand, 1940. The Mummy's Tomb, 1942. The Mummy's Ghost, 1944. The Mummy's Curse, 1944. And The Mummy, 1959. Question number 3. In which establishment does Dr. Jack Griffin rent a room in order to continue his experiments in the Invisible Man?
The name of the establishment?
Yep. What was the name of the bar he went to?
Mark. Lion's Inn?
Incorrect.
Matt. Wolf's Head?
Incorrect. If you guys could just get together, it was the Lion's Head.
Ah, dang it.
Wait, I said Lion's Head.
You said the Lion's Inn. Question number 4.
That's wrong, Mark.
It's wrong. Okay. Wrong is wrong. I'm a stickler on these, and it's going to get worse. Uh-huh. This one's going to be easy because it's multiple choice. Which of these films is not a sequel to the Universal Frankenstein? Horror of Frankenstein, House of Frankenstein, Ghost of Frankenstein, Son of Frankenstein.
Mark. Horror of Frankenstein.
That is correct. 1 point for Mark. He's on the board.
I'm on the board.
Question number five. What is the name of the ship which carries Dracula and Renfield to England?
Matt. Exeter?
Incorrect.
Oh,
Mark, your chance to steal.
I know this one.
Mark? Oh, it's a Bible verse. Galileo?
Incorrect.
Galileo is...
From the Book of Galileo, it was actually called Vesta, V-E-S-T-A.
Oh, Vesta. I guess I didn't know that one.
Okay, then you're really not going to get this next one. The Gill Man from Creature of the Black Lagoon is the last surviving member of a race of amphibious humanoids which lived during which period?
Mark. Cretaceous?
No.
Matt. Pleistocene?
No. Devonia.
Dang it.
Devonia.
Okay, here's another multiple choice for you. Which of the following Universal monsters did Lon Chaney Jr. not play? The Mummy, The Invisible Man, Frankenstein's Monster, or The Wolfman?
Matt.
Matt.
The Invisible Man.
That is correct.
Yeah, it's Invisible Man.
Two for Matt. Question number eight. Elsa Lanchester played the titular role of Bride and Frankenstein, but which additional character did she also play? Mark.
I said it first. It's Mary Shelley.
That is correct. Tied up 2-2. What finally prompted Larry Talbot to return home to Talbot Castle after a long absence in The Wolfman? Why did he come home?
Matt. He was done with college?
Incorrect.
His father's dying?
Also incorrect. His older brother had died.
Oh, that's what it was.
Oh, shit.
Ugh, only 2 points apiece, and we're on question 10.
Yeah, no.
Many of the major original monster actors returned to reprise their role in Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein. Which horror icon? Matt?
Boris Karloff.
That is correct. Did not return to their famous role. Lon Chaney Jr. played Lawrence Talbot. Bela Lugosi played Dracula, but Glenn Strange played the monster. Another point for Matt. All right, question number 11.
Coming to. Dang it.
Lon Chaney and his son Lon Chaney Jr. were two of Universal's most bankable stars. What roles, respectively, were the two best known? Matt?
Lon Chaney played Phantom of the Opera, and Lon Chaney Jr. played Wolfman.
That is correct.
That should be 2 points.
No, it's not guys, 2 points. It's not 2 points. No, it's one.
It's 1 point.
Let's go.
Okay.
That was one of the classic moments of perfect. Last episode. Yeah, it was beautiful.
The moment that I took the lead. Yeah. Question number 12. Universal oversaw the production of what was at the time the grandest set ever produced. It was built on set stage 28, which now goes by what name?
Frankenstein?
Your name is Frankenstein?
Frankenstein's Castle? I don't know.
Is that it?
No.
Is it Frankenstein?
No.
Okay.
Okay. You guys didn't get this one. This was called the Phantom Stage. The historic stage was known as the Phantom Stage because at the end of the stage there remained the original sets from the Paris Opera House, built for Phantom of the Opera in 1925. It's like one of the biggest stages Universal ever built.
Hmm.
Wow.
Okay, question 13. which of these family titles was not part of the Universal Horror canon? And again, this is multiple choice.
Wait, would say family titles?
Yes. Which of these family titles was not part of the Universal Horror canon?
Okay.
The Bride of Frankenstein, Dracula's Daughter, The Mummy's Bride, The Son of Frankenstein.
Mark. The Mummy's Daughter.
How did you screw that up, Mark? It was multiple choice. It was the Mummy's Bride.
I mean, The Mummy's Bride.
Yes. We're going to give that one to Mark.
Okay.
Actually, The Mummy's Bride was actually the name of an episode 1 of season 8 of Laverne and Shirley, where she married a medic.
Okay.
For all those Laverne and Shirley fans out there. Okay, question 14. We're halfway through. What author had their work adapted 3 times by Universal in the 1930s, including
Matt.
The... Matt?
Bram Stoker.
Incorrect.
Mark? Mary Shelley.
Also incorrect. Including The Black Cat and The Murder in Rue Morgue, Edgar Allan Poe. Question 15. We even talked about this. Question 15. What movie series, which did not debut until the 1950s, helped revitalize the Universal
Matt.
Horror movies?
Mark.
Matt.
Creature from the Black Lagoon.
That is correct.
Dang it.
16. What is considered the last of the Universal monster films?
Matt.
Mark.
Matt.
Oh, well, really?
The Leech Woman, I think is
that
the name
is correct.
It?
The Leech Woman, 1960.
I was first on that.
No, I was.
I had perfect ears.
That was like a split second.
17. In Revenge of the Creature, what future superstar had a small bit role?
Matt. Clint Eastwood.
That is correct. A young Clint Eastwood makes his first uncredited screen appearance as the lab technician Jennings. Question number 18. What Universal film has a Spanish version entirely different? Mark.
That Dracula.
I was before you, man.
No, I was before you.
I was way before
there's,
you.
There's going to be 2 questions that are going to come out in the,
no,
in the replay.
No, it's not. Yep. I was before you, Matt.
I don't think it's going to be that close.
It's Dracula.
That is correct. It was Dracula. We already discussed this. I don't need to reiterate the trivia. Question number 19. What event was responsible for the end of Universal's classic monsters?
Matt.
Matt.
The nuclear era.
That
World
is correct.
War II, the
nuclear panic.
Era. Yeah.
Yep. Question 20. What scene in Frankenstein was cut from the film in most states?
Mark. It's when he tosses in the little girl.
That
in
is correct.
Lake.
All right, with 8 questions to go, it is Matt in the lead with 8 and Mark coming up the rear with 5.
There's still 8 questions?
Still 8 questions to go.
Yeah, he's going
28. Question number 2. Would you rather end it now?
No.
Yes. Which Matt would. Question 21. How is the Wolfman killed?
Mark. Matt.
That was Mark.
Thank you. It's his father has a stick with a silver wolf on it, and he beats the shit out of him and kills him.
I would have also taken bludgeoned with a silver cane.
Sure.
Okay, question number 22. What is the name of Dr. Frankenstein's assistant in the 1931
Mark.
Frankenstein? Mark.
hang on. Feech.
Incorrect.
Feech.
It's Fritz.
Fritz is correct.
Feech.
I was thinking of Igor.
I would have also not taken Feech.
So baby Fishmouth is sweeping the nation.
What?
Okay. Baby Fishmouth. Question 23. According to the well-known poem from the film, what season can the Wolfman transform?
Matt.
Matt.
Autumn.
That is correct, and I was not going to take fall.
Ooh.
The actual poem is, even a man who is pure of heart and says his prayers by night may become a wolf when the wolfbane blooms and the autumn moon is bright.
Yep.
What question number 24, what was the first monster pair up?
Mark.
I think Matt eked in.
No, what?
Dracula and, oh, I'm sorry. Frankenstein and the Wolfman.
No, he said correct. Drac. All right. I'll give it.
Question 25.
That wouldn't happen in Jeopardy.
What Universal monster was shot in 3D?
Mark.
Matt.
Mark.
Creature from the Black Lagoon.
That is correct. Question 26. In how many films did Boris Karloff and Bela Lugosi appear together?
Matt.
Mark. Like,
Matt.
Eight.
That is correct.
Oh, I would have been wrong. It's eight?
Yeah.
I just read that in an article today.
These are films, not Universal Horror films, but how many films? Yeah. It was The Black Cat, 1934, Gift of Gab, 1934, The Raven, 35, Invisible Ray, 1936, Son of Frankenstein, 1939, Black Friday, 1940, You'll Find Out, 1940, and The Body Snatcher, 1945. And I read all of those because I'm the one that had to go digging around to find the answers to that. Wow. So. There's the fruits of my labors. All right, question number 27. How is the creature from the Black Lagoon killed?
Mark.
Mark.
He's shot and he's poisoned and then he drowned.
Matt. Matt.
What?
He wasn't killed. He went. He came back for two more sequels.
Actually, the answer I have is he was shot to death. After having killed numerous members of the expedition, the creature takes Kay to his underground or underwater lair where he's tracked down by the remaining survivors and riddled with bullets. The creature tries to escape by swimming deep into the lagoon, but dies from his injuries.
But he comes back.
Yeah. How do you know it's actually him?
You know what?
Him?
Then I can't argue with logic. There are sequels. So I'm going to throw out that question completely. Nobody's going to get a point. Now it's even.
You know, last... give it to Mark.
No. I don't want any handouts. Here, Matt. I don't want any handouts.
No.
I don't want any handouts.
Actually, you gave me the answer that I had on my sheet, so I'm going to give you a point.
Yeah.
So that all right, that one we're going to award that to Mark.
And technically, if you look at it only as its own movie, technically, I mean, they do show him floating along. So.
Okay. Last question of the evening: which actor has played?
Wait. What's the score?
Currently it is Matt with 12 and Mark with 9.
I'm done.
But this next one's worth 7 points.
Question number 28. Which actor has played all four of the iconic Universal monsters?
Mark. Bela Lugosi.
Incorrect.
It's
Matt. Lon Chaney Jr.?
That is correct.
Yeah, it's Lon.
Played Frankenstein's monster in The Ghost of Frankenstein in 1942. Yeah. Played Dracula and Son of Dracula in 1943.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
The Mummy in three films, starting with The Mummy's Tomb in 1942 and The Wolfman and The Wolfman 1941.
Well
Final
done.
Score for the evening, Matt 13, Mark 9. Woohoo! Way to go, Matt.
Hey.
And thank you, Brian, for all those questions.
And Brian, thank you so much for
Brian actually
tuning
came in.
In
second.
What?
Mark came
why,
in third.
Why are you guys doing this?
Oh, an
oh,
exciting
man.
Another
Our rankings
exciting
for the night.
Another exciting
Matt,
week.
First place, Brian, second place, Mark, third place.
You know, Brian better buy some Cinescare merchandise and
Feech.
Damn it. Oh, man.
Oh, beautiful.
Mark,
beautiful.
You were the first loser.
Yep.
Of all the losers, you came in first.
Nobody lost ahead of you.
Fantastic.
All right. Well, that does it for another week.
That
does for another 2 weeks, actually. So I don't know what we're going to do next time. We'll have to talk about it, but we will have another theme waiting
Matt's
for you.
Matt's choice.
It'll be in December. but we've already done a Christmas horror movie theme, so we got to come up with something.
Well, that's the problem with going having this little ride of ours, the CineScare podcast, for over a year, is we've lapped ourselves now. We've hit all the major holidays once already.
Mm-hmm. Well, except thank goodness we have thousands of movies.
We didn't do anything
too
spectacular for St. Patrick's Day last year, if I remember correctly.
I don't. Are there a lot of St. Patrick's Day horror movies?
There's not a lot, but there's one really big one.
Don't you do
well,
it.
Well, yeah, of course.
We all need to watch The Leprechaun.
Oh, no.
Well, we got to do the Scream franchise in January because Scream 5's coming out, right?
Well, we'll figure something else off mic.
Yeah.
Our listeners would just wait with bated breath for another 2 weeks to find out what we're doing.
And you will see. All right. Well, I guess that is it for another fun-filled episode. We will. Go ahead, Joe.
Hang on. I want to announce something new. We have new for everyone. We have a website, an actual website, CineScareHorror.com. If you go to that website, you will find links to all of our episodes. You will find frequently asked questions and the answers that accompany them. You will find a list of the movies that we have listed as CineScare certified. You will find out how to sponsor a very show just like this one. And a whole lots more. Well, actually, not more. I think I named off everything on the site. But
we have big plans for it. I think we're going to come up with more content and different things. But please go there and check it out.
It's also a really easy way to link to our store for you to buy more merchandise, Brian.
True. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Or more merchandise for Brian, if you guys want to. Yeah.
It's Christmas has come. It's right around the corner.
That's right.
Got some marvelous leggings for your wife, Brian.
Excellent. Well, that does it for another week. We will see you next time.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Feet.
An incubator of boners.